Good morning. We are experiencing a little bit of beautiful moment. Diana is ill. Bo's filling in. Thank you, Bo. Mike was filling in, got us online. So if you're joining us online, if we came in a little late, we're still here. We were waiting until we could all be here present. It is an interesting start to the week. Indeed. You heard about the church. They had all the new committees began working, and the new trustees decided that they should have a Bible verse over the door to every room in the church. So they were going to put a Bible verse in. They went to the kitchen. That was easy. They feed my sheep. That was pretty straightforward. They went to the youth room, and over that it says, let the little children come unto me. Do not hinder them. So they went all around the church, and they got to the nursery for the babies. Somebody said, I got it, 1 Corinthians 5:51. Listen, I will tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. The table is different today in many ways, the most important being that that's catnip. Michael brought that in. As you know, he is the grandfather to 50,000 bees, and they are feasting on catnip. Some people have asked about that. If I begin twitching my nose later in the service, you will know what that is all about. So we'll welcome you. By way of the preparing for August, the beginning of the new season and the beginning of the week, are there any announcements we need to share for the body? Paya isn't here to help me remember anything from the office. Michael Deb Gunther is standing. I bet that's a sign that she is going to tell us about an opportunity to participate in the works of mission of the church.
Thank you. Good morning. August crop fundraiser is Just Grill on August 17th. It's from 11 till closing. August 17th, I do have the flyers out in the narthex. Thank you.
Iliff and Chambers, thereabouts?
Buckley. Iliff and Buckley.
Iliff and Buckley. All right, trying to. All you have to do is go and eat. You need the microphone so the people online can hear you. I'll repeat it. Go ahead. Oh, remind everyone that next week is Communion Sunday. We will be celebrating communion, is our tradition. So make people aware of that. Be present at the Lord's table. Other announcements for the good of the order.
Just a quick reminder about the Faith Day at the Rockies. That's 2 weeks from today, but I have to know and have your promise to pay, or your check is even better, today, because I have to turn it all in tomorrow.
Okay, Faith Day at the Rockies. Thank you, Richard. Others? If not, stand, wave hello to each other or what have you, and let us turn to our call to worship.
worship. And now, while you're already standing, let's participate in the call to worship. You, O Lord, are more wonderful than our lips can proclaim. When we consider the awesome works of your hands, your love for us is more than amazing. You have trusted us with the whole world, and you put everything under the care of our hands. We accept our responsibility as caretakers, stewards of your awesome creation, care of our neighbors. Give us wisdom, give us strength, give us tenacity. Lord, O sovereign Lord, the earth is filled with your glory.
So while you're still standing, grab a hymn note, turn to page 364, and we will sing Because He Lives.
See the lights of glory and
please.
The first reading this morning comes from Paul's letter to the Colossians, the third chapter. So if you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth, for you have died, and your life is hidden with trust in God. When Christ, who is your life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever in you is earthly, fornication, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming on those who are disobedient. These are the ways you also once followed, when you were living with life. But now you must get rid of all such things, anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive language from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have stripped off the old self with its practices and have clothed yourselves with the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge according to the image of its creator. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
So we turn to our concerns and celebrations. You have a list on the back of the bulletin. Monica, can I ask you, if Michael brings you the microphone, to just give us a quick update on your dad? Monica and Joe are with us this morning, and they have been busy.
Is it on?
Go ahead.
Okay. Monroe is still in rehab and probably will be a few more weeks at least. So.
Okay. So Monroe and Ruth both not getting any younger, but they are recovering, and we give you thanks for the good work you two are doing with them. Any others? Michael, if you'd. Holly.
Thank you. Actually, this is. Wayne Short texted me and asked me to put in a prayer request for his good friend Tom, whose mom went into hospice recently, and then she passed away on Friday. So Wayne asked that we keep Tom and his family in our prayers.
Colin?
No, Wayne Short texted me.
Okay.
Oh, the man's name is Tom.
Tom.
Tom, yeah.
Keep Tom,
yeah.
Okay. Okay.
So,
thank you for that.
Thank you.
And our Wayne Short, thank you for all of that. We need to lift our prayers for our friends, brothers, and sisters in Kentucky. Flooding, as of the news last night, 25 fatalities there from flooding. That, side by side with drought in California and fires there, it is a tumultuous time. Mother Nature is in charge. Mother Nature continues, so we lift them. Are there other concerns that we would lift this morning? I'm going to stall a second. I don't have the birthday list laying right here in front of me. But I'm digging it out, unless anybody wants to fess up. Anybody have any birthdays or anniversaries they want to lift? Oh, I do have one concern. Renee lifted her cousin Lorraine Rosenfeld passed on Sunday. And we want to lift her and be aware of her, and prayers for Renee and her family as they grieve her loss. She was 95 years young. Okay, thank you for that. Last week we remembered that Isabel Burns turned 10, and Ken Barber had a birthday on Saturday. This coming week, Takai has a birthday on Monday. Takai, is it your birthday? You don't know? The 8th? That's not Monday. No, that's not Monday. I'm missing a whole week. So, yep, somehow my spreadsheet does not include anybody for this coming week. Who's in on this coming week? Anybody? Well, that's kind of embarrassing. We don't have a list there. If you have some, we wish you happy and celebrations and thereof. And so, Jim Littow, what are you doing back there? Are you trying to get my attention?
Restringing all these, so we got some fire going here. I was gonna say, if nobody had a birthday this week, if there's presents involved, I'll take it.
It's so nice of you to be so helpful. Thank you, Jim. So very nice. All right. Let's turn to our unison prayer and read responsively. O Lord, hear our prayers. Almighty giver of life and provider of every good gift, apart from your leading, we have no direction. Lord, without your grace, we have no strength. Open our hearts to the touch of your hand, we pray, and grant us the joy of your face shining upon us. O God, be in our midst. Confront our complacence. Let us, the new power of your Holy Spirit, call us to new and glorious living. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. I invite you to a moment of silent meditation. Loving Lord God, thank you for being with us, for helping us prepare for the coming week. As we come and gather, we have lifted prayers aloud. We have lifted some celebrations. We have other prayers that we have prayed to you silently, and you know them. And we give you thanks for your ever-present attention. As we gather here, Lord, comfort us in our afflictions. As I have carefully observed all in this congregation, none of us seem to be getting younger. And as is the pattern of your great creation, there are storms and there are floods and there are droughts and there are fires. But yet there is also burgeoning growth of the summer, the growth of plants and trees and grass and crops, the growth of bees and catnip and all that is part of your creation. All around us, life is vibrating with tremendous energy and passion. Lord, afflict us in our comfort. Afflict us in our complacency that we realize and turn to you. And listen to how you would guide and direct us to be a part of the works of your great creation. Lord, you give us free will, and we value that. Help it not be a temptation. Help it be a gift, a wonderful way that we can participate joyfully in whatever you call us to do. Lord, we've lifted our communities. Help us be aware of our neighbors near and far. Lord, be with those caught in the midst of wars. Lord, be with our troops far from home. Lord, be with those who are unable to attend from infirmity. And Lord, mostly be with those who are not attending for fear, for estrangement, for anger. Let us be your agents of balm to the world. Guide and inspire us. Instill in us your spirit. Unsettle us. Lord God, as we come, we gather with all of your people all around the world. We share together in the wonderful of Jesus Christ in the prayer he taught us, the Lord's Prayer, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done.
on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. We will not pass the plates for offering, as is our tradition. The plates are in the narthex for your convenience. Let's turn to the Word. Let's listen for what the gospel says to us. I invite Richard forward.
Now, if you'll stand, if you're able, for the reading of the gospel. This morning's gospel is found in the 12th chapter of Luke, beginning with the 13th verse. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Friend, who set me to be a judge or arbitrator over you?" And he said to them, "Take care. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions." Then he told them a parable. The land of a rich man produced abundantly, and he thought to himself, "What should I do, for I have no place to store my crops?" Then he said, "I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, 'Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your life is being demanded of you. And the things you have prepared, whose will they be?' So it is with those who store up treasures for themselves, but are not rich toward God." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You may be seated.
No, actually we...
Oh, I'm sorry.
We're going to be singing
again. You may
again.
Not be seated.
I think there's a video for this song. Am I right? Yeah.
Just click the play button, Mike.
Yeah.
That was terrible. Sit down. We tried, didn't we? We did all right. You know, it's just new, and we're family, and families can do things like that. Holly, thank you for your voicing out. Mark, your leadership. You realize Mark is filling in for Diana. See, we lose Diana, we lose Paya, and the whole world just goes right swirling down the drain. You know, it is what it is. I have to tell you, it's been kind of interesting. This last month, was annual conference. It was up in Montana. So theoretically, all the clergy and the lay delegates, you didn't go, did you? I didn't either, because, I mean, it's like, that's a long drive to Montana.
And you can sit at home in your pajamas and turn on the computer and watch it, you know, in the virtual world. So the one thing that I missed was the retirees banquet. When you retire at the next annual conference after you retire, they have a banquet and they I don't know what they do nowadays. They used to give you a few minutes to speak. And that was always dangerous, asking a preacher to preach for a few minutes. But at any rate, this last week I got a box in the mail from the conference office. It says, we were sorry you couldn't be at the retirement banquet, but we gave you a couple of gifts here. One is a little certificate of appreciation. That was awfully nice. I guess I'll hang that in my office somewhere. But this retired business is kind of interesting. You know, the one thing that I am looking forward to in retirement is not wearing a watch anymore. During the week, generally, I don't wear one as much, but this attachment to time, I think the Tongans have it right. You have a better view of how to just say, we'll get there when we get there. So I am very much looking forward to being less time-driven or agenda-anxious. One of the two gifts from the conference was a pin. It says, retired clergy. I'll wear it one of these days. But the other gift was a clock. I don't know. This retirement thing has been different than I had ever expected it to. I know a bunch of retirees, and I know one thing. All the ones I know are doing it wrong. They're working twice as hard as when they were not retired. And I have a feeling that's the way that's going to work. I am grateful for their dedication and their gifts and their graces. But I have a question for you. And as Simi's coming in the back door, I see him coming around the corner here. Simi, I'm going to pick on you. Come on in, buddy. Walk right in and get picked on. And I apologize for that, but I hope you're still my friend. You are my friend. Here's the question, and this might be something I'd bounce off you, but I'm going to bounce off everybody, Simi. What do you want to be when you grow up? And you don't have to answer that, Simi, but I'm just saying, have you ever thought about that question? Have you haven't thought about that. Okay, good for you, brother. Think about that, though, all of you. What are you going to be when you grow up? Do you remember being young enough to wonder what you were going to do? I remember being in elementary school. I had it all figured out. I was going to become a pilot with the Air Force, and then after I got through with the Air Force, I was going to fly jet airplanes for the airlines. Lord knows that you cannot be a pilot if you're colorblind. So that went right down the tubes. But then at some point in time, I got into high school, and my dad had given me a darkroom set, so I thought I would be a photographer, a photojournalist, a cameraman. And actually, I ran video camera for a cable company for a while, and I thought it was pretty neat. But in high school, I kind of focused on that, and it was wonderful because it told me definitively, I do not want to be a photojournalist. I have no gifts and graces there, and it was decidedly unsatisfied. So my goal changed. That is the title of the sermon is Goalposts. So the pilot goalposts went out in the way, and so did the photojournalist sort of thing. A buddy hooked me into helping him on the stage one evening, and he knew I had a little bit of carpentry skill. And so I got hooked into the stage, and that was pretty exciting. So I went up to college and focused on the stage and on stage lighting, which had a lot of appeal. A lot of electronics and a lot of electricity and lighting and all of those fun things. And so I got my bachelor's degree in stage lighting in college. That was the goal. The goalposts were professional stage lighting. The IATSE is the union. There are three places you can get into the IATSE: Las Vegas, Los Angeles, and New York. And by the time I graduated and had my degree, I had a family too, and all of our families were in Grand Junction, and there is no union in Grand Junction that's going to allow me to do stage lighting. So the goalposts dissolved, and I said, well, now what? And I was headed back into engineering, which is an area that I had been sort of active in for a long time. Went to work for the city of Grand Junction. I had a pretty good time there. I loved it. I love maps and looking at maps and helping figure out where things are and drawing. We were still drawing on drafting boards in that day and age. Some of you young people don't know that they had drafting tables and ink and pencil and whatever. It's all on the computer now. But I was doing all of that and headed back, went back to school for another degree in engineering, and I was getting close to that, and I got a communique from God. I was sure it was a wrong number. That happened back in 1987. I'm still waiting to see if it's going to pan out or not, this thing going into ministry thing. What do you think? Maybe I'll get by? You'll give me a passing grade at least? I hope so. Thank you for your enthusiasm. I hope that I have done some good in what I've been about. But here I am now. Going back to seminary was a whole other deal. They said, you're going back to school. First thing they did, they gave us an English test. English, spelling, composition. English comp. The whole class was invited by the president of the seminary to meet with an English professor and sharpen our skills. Every course, every year, we have to redo that and start all over. Because we need sharpening a little bit on our English composition and our English skills. It was kind of a fun thing, but we got through that okay, and got through seminary and got another degree. You can now say I'm 3 degrees below zero. What are you going to be when you grow up? Where are the goalposts for you? Yeah, Jim Lataz sitting here, I don't know what I'm going to be. I don't know what's going to happen. And invariably, as we proceed, it changes, and we make plans. An ongoing phrase of ours is, we make our plans and God laughs, because that just seems to be the way that life is in the world. But if we think about goals and goalposts, and you've said, one of mine has always been some stability in life. And stability is an interesting sort of thing. I mean, what does stability mean? For me, it meant having enough financial stability to be able to, pay the bills and have a home and do all of those things. And so there was and I had a really very clear path on that, and I was really focused, but the lottery did not pan out. And so now all of these years later, fortunately, that Uncle Sam mandated me to make some other plans, and so... So there's been some money set aside for Melissa and I, and we're okay. At the end of almost a year now, as in retired ministry working for the church, we're not starving. And the roof is over our head, and the bill collectors are not pounding on the doors. So God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. So why am I still anxious about money? Why am I still worried about those sorts of things? I threaten Stu, and just as I was saying, relax about this. This week, the refrigerator went out at home. How many of you have ever gone through that? You're there, and all of a sudden, the keep them cooler section is now the keep them warmer section of the device. Several hundred dollars worth of lost frozen goods before I realized that it was not doing what it was supposed to be doing. And then several days to try and get it fixed. My house is not quite back in order, although we do have a refrigerator with food in it. So we are neither here nor there. So should I be anxious about money? What else is going to break at my house? I actually was sitting there the other day running through it. All right, this appliance is this old, and this appliance is that old, and the car is this old, and I was running through all the possible things that could go wrong. That anxiety just weighs on it, doesn't it? And there's reasons for that. I mean, certainly being prepared is obviously an important sort of thing, but at how far should we let that anxiety drive us? How much, how important is that? Well, maybe there's a scripture about that. How about the scripture that Richard read this morning, the rich fool? Cover of your bulletin. Don't you love that picture? That's a pen and just a pen drawing. But that man, no one in particular that I know, but it's not that picture. It's the one on your bulletin cover. But I've known people just like that man sitting there, haven't you? Bags of money, all the stuff around him, and he does not look happy. He does not look happy. Now, this is an interesting thing because the scripture, if you hear it very carefully, there's this rich man and his crops are burgeoning. Their crops are growing like crazy. It's like Mike's bees. They've gone from 5,000 to 50,000. The crops are growing. You can see the... I just drew a blank. This is called catsnip. There we go. I had to get to it. Had to stop and get a cat in there. Things are growing. Things are burgeoning. The man's doing a good job. He's a good steward. He's taking care of things. He's doing things right. Amen? Yeah, amen. He's doing a great job. Nothing wrong with that. And he's got money. He's got resources. He's got so much crops that he doesn't have enough place to store them. This is good news. This is very good news. But he gets stuck there. This is the crux of it all is I got to hang on to it. I got it. How am I going to store it? How am I going to save it up? You recall the fella, he rich man, and he died, and he'd been a pretty good fella. So he was going that way, not this way. And so he prays, he says, Lord, let me take my gold with me. So he does, he gets to heaven, he gets to the pearly gates, and St. Peter says, oh, welcome. He says, oh, I see you brought pavement. Gold pavement. That's all it's worth there. Put on the roads to walk on. You brought pavement, how kind of you. We can't focus on that, for itself. That's just where it is. The story that prompts his parable is the two brothers who are fighting over their inheritance. They want Jesus to jump in there and become the arbiter and make the decision about whose inheritance and who gets it and when they get it and how they get it and where it goes and all of that. The business of ministry is a fascinating one. You see a piece of it here on Sunday mornings with sermons and sharing with the church family. But you don't see the part of sitting with families who've lost parents and families who were doing quite fine until all of a sudden the parents are gone and now they're beginning to argue over who gets what. It's kind of heartbreaking. Not kind of. But that loss is compounded. So how do we be about that? Here are these two brothers, and they're fighting over it, and he says, who made me the one that's going to decide for you? And here he points to them. You are both the rich man. You're both fools because you're chasing after your inheritance. Now, this is a good point to stop and say money is not evil. Money is a good, great thing. Money has helped us have a ministry here. Money helps us go out and do missions. We are sending aid to churches and people in Ukraine through the United Methodist Committee on Relief. We are helping people, and money helps us do that because we can't just mail food. You see, there are ways, and so this is just a means of accomplishing some ends. So money is fine. Keep in mind that Bible says the root of all evil is the love of money. And that's what the rich man got caught up in, is the love of these things, the love of these possessions. And here he is, he should be stopping and celebrating and saying, you know what I can do with all that extra grain? You know what I can do with all these extra things? Think about the people I could help. Look at what I could do. There would be grace. There would be heaven. But he gets caught up in, I gotta store it up. Hold on to it. One of the commentaries that I follow is Richard Bulland. Here's what he says. He says, Jesus is teaching liberation of people from possessions. I've heard it said multiple times that the one topic Jesus talks about more than any other in the Bible, that Jesus talks about more than anything else, is money and our attachment to it that's unhealthy. It's an interesting thought. Now, I do remember being in grade school and thinking at some point that when I grow up, I'm going to own a Porsche. And that's about as far as I went with the wealth thing. But I had a Volkswagen at the time. I guess it was high school because I had a bug. But I said, I want a Porsche, a very fast Porsche. And today I'm grateful that I don't have one. You know what else I don't have? Any speeding tickets. So sometimes we need to pause and say, what are our goals, our goalposts? Where are we aiming for? And where shall we go? And Jesus answers that. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. That's Paul, actually. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. Amen? Amen. Let's stand and sing. We know how to do this because Melba's going to lead us with the music that we know and the piano and Mark, and we know this song, number 114 in your hymnal.
God of change and glory, God of time and space, when we fear the future, give to us your grace. In the midst of changing ways, give us still the grace to Spirit, one love known in many ways, in our differences, blessing from diversity we praise. One giver, one Lord, one Spirit, one word, known in many ways. Hallowing our days for the giver, for the gifts. Praise, praise, praise. God of many colors, God of many signs, you have made us different, blessing many kinds. As our always disappear, let your love cast out our fear. Many gifts, one Spirit, one known in many ways, in our differences, blessing from diversity we praise. One giver, one Lord, one Spirit, one word, known in many ways. Hallowing our days for the giver, for the gifts. Praise, praise, praise. Freshness of the morning, newness of each night. You are still shadows part, many gifts from one great heart. Many gifts, one Spirit, one love known in many ways, in our differences. for the gifts. Praise, praise, praise.
Amen. We got through that one as well. Mark, thank you. Melba, thank you as usual for your gifts and graces. Thank you all for all of your gifts and graces and for doing that and for making us through that. Yeah. Family. We kind of do that, don't we? When things get a little weird, we just kind of take care of each other and we make things work. That's the family we're about and that's the place we're going. May our goals be to serve the Lord and in that find the joy that He offers us. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. You're going to sing us? Okay. Join hands, if you will.
I'm ready.
Takai.
Go now in peace. Go now in peace. May the love of God surround you everywhere. Everywhere you may go.
And God's people said,
Amen. Amen.